Well, let me add another word of welcome and thank you for your being present tonight and sharing Christmas with all the rest of us. It's a joy to see you. Let me begin these short remarks with the first a bah humbug moment. And I promise I'll finish on an upbeat. But the topic is joy. And when I look around the world I live in, the world that you live in, the world that we read about in the newspapers and hear about on the news, I think there's a decided lack of joy in our world. Just a decided lack of joy. In one of the editions of this week's Wall Street Journal, there was a story about how the election, quote, has taken an emotional and personal toll on many Americans, affecting their relationships and alienating them from relatives and close associates. Well, I hope that hasn't happened to you. I hope you've been able to engage good conversations. But there are a lot of people for a whole lot of reasons who don't seem very joyful these days. So that raises the question, what is this thing called joy? How do you get joy? Can you get joy? Perhaps first we need to define what joy is. Is it a feeling of ecstasy? Is it a sense of wonder? Is it just feeling good all the time? What if it can't be defined? Or what if it can't even be something that can be found? God help us if joy can't be found. So let's start with the story again. Let's start on this night long ago, where in Luke's version of the Gospels, Luke says in chapter 2, verse 8, when there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. It's a familiar verse for us, at least, about a very unfamiliar vocation. I mean, how many of us are shepherds or really understand what shepherds had to go through or what their lives were like? For the shepherds who lived in Jesus' day, it was a dirty and thankless, miserable job. They worked 24/7. They worked the day shift and the night shift and all shifts. They worked with smelly animals. They had to keep away wild beasts and thieves who might take the sheep. They generally didn't own the sheep themselves. They worked for someone else who was probably paying them very poorly. It was dark and cold and dangerous work, suffering in the elements of the weather and also suffering from times of just sheer boredom. I mean, this was a dead-end job. And these had to be joyless people. Shepherds were looked down on. Wherever they went in society, they were the bottom rung. If they had a religious impulse, they weren't allowed in temple worship because they were defiled, because they worked with these animals, and so they weren't welcome in the temple for worship. They weren't welcome in the temple for worship. They were considered unclean. They did dirty work, and they were despised among the rest of their citizens. It's a pretty joyless life. So it was to these grubby guys, in the midst of this difficult, dangerous, and depressing work, that God showed up and did what God just does. God comes and surprises us. God surprises us with his presence. God surprises us with whom he chooses to reveal himself and with whom he chooses to be in relationship. God surprises us. So he came in the form of an angel. He sent an angel to send the message, who came to these guys in this dead-end job. And the text says an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified. So we're still not to the place of joy. I mean, they've gone from sheer boredom now to being terrified. What an awful place to be. bored and then terrified. But in an instant, their isolation, the monotony of their lives, the seeming meaninglessness of the work that they did was interrupted by a routine-shattering experience. The angel came, said those words, and then the next thing that happens, according to Luke, is that the sky filled with a heavenly flash mob of people, of angels, of creatures. And it broke through their long season of apathy and boredom about their lives and their work. And then the angel said again, I bring you good news of great joy. There's that word for the first time for these shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, these shepherds whose lives had been so filled with boredom and tedium and depression, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. These creatures came for these shepherds. It's an amazing story. Only God could do this. And as soon as the messengers came, they were gone. They disappeared. But God had shown up. God had shown up in a small, nowhere town, on the outskirts of a nowhere town, to people whom others considered to be nobodies. And the shepherds were in for their first jolt of real joy in their whole lives. Imagine the shepherds for just a moment. Imagine the shepherds saying, what just happened to us? What just happened to us? What did we just see? What did we just hear? What are we going to do with this? So somehow they pulled themselves together. They must have had a meeting. What do we do now? Well, they had a meeting, I guess, and they said, forget the sheep. We're going to go see this baby that's been promised. We got to see what's going on here. We've got to go to Bethlehem. So they went, and they found the baby. I picture them dancing around, jumping for joy, amazed that they hadn't dreamed this. This had actually happened to them. The angel was right. There was a human baby in a barn. There was a human baby in a barn who was also God. And God not only came to them, he came to the whole world. God was in a barn. And they were the ones to be told about it. If it's hard to define joy, and I think it is, a little bit hard to define exactly what joy is, we know it through the eyes and the witness of the shepherds and by their reaction. So what is joy? Let's try again for a definition. Is it a feeling? Yes. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a great feeling to feel joy. But it's not just a feeling. It's more than that. From a writing from a pastor friend of mine, Doug Stevens in California, this is his definition of joy. Joy is the settled conviction that God is for me, that God loves me, that God loves the world. I'm going to say that last part again, that God loves the world. He doesn't hold it in disdain. He loves the world. That God, as it turns out, is an unreasonably, outrageously kind and merciful, relentless lover of this world and of its people. That's who God is. And when you sense that and when you know that and experience that, that's what joy looks like. to know that you are loved by the God of the universe, who is an absolutely unrelenting lover of human beings. Another way to say it is joy is the intrusion of heaven on earth. It's the intrusion. It's where heaven and earth meet. It's that place where the two come together. Joy is the God who came for us as a baby. Joy is the reality that heaven has broken through in the birth of Jesus. Just like God broke through the tedium and the boredom and the misery of these cold shepherds. That's what heaven is. That's what joy is. It's God breaking through. Joy can be found in acknowledging that what we celebrate tonight is an ongoing adventure ever more into the love of God. That's joy. Joy is the ongoing adventure of ever more falling into the love that God has for us. You will never get to joy if you don't believe that God loves you. That's the simplest point of this short message. You will never get to joy unless you believe that you are deeply and abidingly and forever loved by the living God. If you believe that, you can get to joy. If you can't believe that, you're going to be stuck. So I'm going to use an illustration from the Golden State Warriors, who are not a popular team here. For those of us still upset that Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors, just know it happened, it's over with, it's done. We've moved on. They took Kevin Garnett from the Thunder, and a lot of us were upset by that. But their coach, Steve Kerr, has had a great deal of success, and his coaching philosophy has a lot to do with that. And I personally have a lot of respect for him. Coach Kerr teaches his players to play by four core values. The first and most important is that he says he wants his team to play with joy. He coaches his players to enjoy the journey, to have fun, to believe in the plan and in your teammates. He tells them the mistakes are not fatal, a bad game is not a tragedy, and that we can learn from every experience and we can bounce back. Believe it, he says. Believe it and rejoice in every situation on the court. I don't know Steve Kerr from Adam, but that sounds like a very biblical statement to me. The wonderful writer Henry Nouwen puts it this way. All of us, he says, have a lot of old pain and old sadness and old grief. But there is no such thing as old joy. In other words, you can't live on old joy. You can't just live your life or my life. We can't just live on old joy, because once it's happened, it's gone. There has to be new joy created. All of us struggle with old sad things, old grief, old mistakes, but we're supposed to play through that, and we're supposed to find new joy. Joy is always new. Let me say that again. Joy is always new. We have to find our own direct, real-time relationship with God and discover for ourselves, like the shepherds did, the Jesus of Bethlehem, who is now the risen Christ. And we discover evermore, every day, the revitalizing joy that he offers us. That's what this life is about. In a moment, we're going to sing Silent Night together. I want you to just use that moment, just use that time to ponder. We're going to light candles. We're going to share the light with one another in a moment. I'm going to sing Silent Night. And my prayer and my hope for all of us will be that that'll just be just a sign, just one little sign of the newness of joy that God wants to put inside of our hearts. As we prepare for that, would you pray with me, please? Oh God, in this room, there are lots of folks who have old things in their lives, things they still think about, things they still remember. Some of those were sad things and hurtful things. But you're a God of fresh starts. So whatever was in the past is now, it's really effectively gone. What you offer us is the daily possibility of discovering real joy, because we are so deeply, deeply, deeply loved. So as we sing Silent Night, God, fill our hearts with just a sense of joy. Just give us that little gift and remind us this can be a daily experience. We pray in the name of the one who was born a baby to be the King. Amen.